Ik heb ondertussen gebeld naar Aiden Bronstein. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So I saw in the calendar of the paper fabric, where I often come, that you will be coming there tomorrow and present a book. So I thought it was very interesting. It looked very interesting. So maybe you can first present yourself. Who are you and where are you from? And
yes, I'm an Israeli. I live here in Brussels since 3.5 years. We came with my wife, Eleonor Merza Bronstein, which is the second author of the book, and our son, and we live here since 3.5 years ago. And I grew up in Israel. In 2001, I established an organization named Zohot, which means remembering. And we dedicate our work to educate ourselves, the Israelis, to the history of the Nakba, which is the catastrophe in 1948, when 750,000 Palestinians were expelled from their homes, and more than 600 of their localities were destroyed. And this book, in fact, follows the work that we did there at this organization.
Okay. So, and you now have an occupation which is very original. You are a decolonizer?
Yes, we are an organization named Decolonizer. We established it in Israel in 2015, but since we moved here, we established the same organization here. It's named Decolonizer, and the idea is to work on the colonial nature of the Israeli regime, to expose it as a settler colonial regime, and to produce materials. We produce, like, the book we wrote, but also we produce maps to show all the destroyed localities since the beginning of Zionism. We work through video, through different writings, articles, conferences, to educate people on the settler colonial situation in Palestine, Israel. Yes.
So, and how is it? I didn't know you moved here in the meantime, and I asked myself, who is it? How is it to do this kind of work in Israel? Don't you get a lot of negative reactions on it? Aren't you a self-hating Jew? Or
yes, in fact, this is the most common reaction. In fact, if you would come tomorrow to the event when we're going to present the book, we're going to show also a video of direct actions we conducted in the streets of Tel Aviv during the Israeli Independence Eve some years ago, when we read in public excerpts from our book. And you would see the warm welcoming by the passers-by, which were shouting at us and saying all kinds of things. But I have to say that, in fact, the success of our work is because there were enough Israelis that joined us to learn and to know the history that was never told. Because, you know, I grew up in Israel through my school, and I never heard anything about the Nakba, about the expulsion of Palestinians, even though I grew up in a kibbutz in the middle of Palestinian villages, and some also destroyed Palestinian localities from the Nakba, and I knew very well the ruins, but I never knew they were Palestinian villages. So many Israelis that are living, because they are all over the country, of course, and we know these ruins, but we don't know what's their history. So many Israelis are interested in this history, and they are willing to learn and to know about it. So it's not only reactions against us, even though they are the majority, of course.
Yes, and how did you come to be interested in that kind, in that side of the story? That's not evident.
Yeah, it's true. As I said, I grew up as a, let's say, a regular Israeli. I went to the army when I was 18. I never questioned this issue back then. And And during the army, I experienced what it means to be an occupier. It was very difficult experience for me, even though back then it was not that violent as it is nowadays. But still, it was very, very bad. Then during the first Lebanon War in 83, that Israel opened in 1982, in 1983 I refused to go to that war, and I was jailed as a reserve soldier, and then the first Intifada also I was jailed twice because I refused to oppress the Intifada, the uprising of the Palestinians for their freedom. So this was my kind of political formation. But in fact, the last crisis with Zionism for me was in October 2000, when I participated in demonstrations with Palestinians in Israel against the in solidarity with Palestinians in the West Bank that were killed, so many of them, following the provocation by Israeli, back then, Defense Minister Ariel Sharon, that visited the mosque in Jerusalem, and many Palestinians opposed this and were shot to death. But it was the first time that Israel also killed demonstrators, Palestinian demonstrators within Israel, which are Israeli citizens. And I took part in this one of those demonstrations. And then I realized that the issue that is in front of us is the nature of the Jewish state, the very fundament of Zionism, that means that this place belongs only to us as Jews, and it's not a place that we live here like with the Palestinians, but we are occupiers since 1948, at least in 1948, and if not before. So it's not only from 67 the issue of the occupation of the West Bank, but it sits the foundation of Israel in 1948. And then I understood that we have to challenge this these narratives, these mythologies that we grew up on them. And then I started this organization that the basic idea was just to post signs to indicate the destroyed localities. And we started from this, and it raised a lot of attention and also many reactions, but also a lot of interest. So yeah, this is in short how I became an activist on that issue.
And do you get access to, let's say, for example, schools? Can you go to schools and talk about this? Because that's the place where apparently a lot of information is not given.
Yes, it's true. It's very problematic. I mean, in a regular school in Israel, they would have never invited me as representative of that organization. This is not possible. No, it's not illegal, but the reaction might be so hard against them by either the Ministry of Education or even by the parents. So I had few occasions to enter in schools, in universities, but always it was through, let's say, a teacher that is a friend or is interested in particularly, so he brought me as a guest, and without naming exactly what I represent, but of course then I told them that. But yes, it's very problematic, and it's not, in Israel, it's not possible that in a regular school a representative of such an organization would present. But I want to also to tell something. I think this issue of education, because I see myself as an educator, a political educator maybe, but for me education, the education that I try to do or that I aim to do, is not toward kids. I don't accept this idea that that we should educate the kids and then they will grow up and become better citizens or whatever, better humans. I think we as adults have to take responsibility. And then maybe we will educate the kids or not. This is our choice. But I think when we think immediately about education, about schools, it's based on the assumption that we should educate them. And I think we should educate us as adults, because we are responsible for that. The kids, they will absorb anyway what they have, you know, around them, at home, media, and all this. So I always aimed mainly at adults, even today.
Okay. So in what kind of context did you bring your content then? So you did readings or you organized debates or how did you?
Yes, what we did was mostly in this project in Israel was to organize visits to destroyed Palestinian localities from 1948. They were open to the public, and in each kind of this visit, we organized to bring also one Palestinian refugee from the place, because in many refugees, Palestinian refugees are living internally, that they're Israeli citizens, they speak Hebrew, and they live as citizens in Israel.
So they are in fact internally displaced refugees, something like that.
Exactly. Internally displaced persons, and they live as citizens in Israel, but they never have the opportunity to tell Israelis, in fact, their story, well, like their origin. For us as Israelis, okay, they are Arabs, they are Palestinians, but we don't differentiate this, the fact that so many of them, more than 250,000 of Palestinians in Israel, out of the 2 million Palestinians, are internally displaced persons. I mean, from families of those refugees, internal refugees. So we bring them and they tell their own story to the Israelis. And these were very important and unique opportunities for Israelis to hear for the first time about places that they know very well, but they never knew what they are. And this brought a lot of reaction and attention, and we document this visit by photos, by videos, and so it raised a lot of interest, until in fact the government reacted to that and kind of helped us. In 2011, the Israeli government passed a law that is known as the Nakba law, that aims to prevent any kind of commemoration or discussion about this issue in Israel.
Excuse me? The Nakba law? And so you are not supposed to talk about this? Or yes. That's absurd.
Yes, it sounds like that, but we are not supposed by the law, but the law doesn't explicitly say this. It's a bit an issue of maybe a lawyer to explain why they cannot pass a law that says this exactly. But the aim of the law is this, yes, to prevent these activities. But the law itself is strict only to funded organizations that are funded by the state, so they cannot organize an event during the Israel Independence Day as a mourning day and commemorate it as a mourning day. They don't even mention the Nakba. But so it's a bit complicated, I'm sorry, but maybe to understand. But I know that the aim of the law is to prevent any commemoration, because every time that something around the Nakba was raised or presented, or many times the representative of the government, sometimes ministers, spoke against it and pushed to prevent the event, and even went to court. It was the case, by the way, with our book, our very book. Probably it's the only book when it was published in Hebrew in 2018. That went through two legal procedures, because the Minister of Culture, together with the Mayor of Jerusalem, went to the court, appealed to the court to try to prevent the launch of the book in Jerusalem. And they claimed also, the lawyers, that it's against the Nakba law. But in the court, the judge, of course, decided, two judges, they went in two. They took it to a higher court also in the second procedure. They argue that it's contradicting the Nakba law, but the lawyers, the judge say, no, it's not true. It's not exactly contradicting the law, but their aim is to try to prevent. I mean, the aim of the government is to prevent any discussion on that. And this raised also by itself a lot of interest, by Israelis that would question why the government is passing a law on this issue.
So that was a former book, and you now have a new one?
No.
That's that book. Yeah.
It's that book, yes. It's exactly that book that we are going to present tomorrow. The thing is that it was published first in Hebrew and in French. My wife, the second author, Leonor, she's French, so she wrote the same book in French and even elaborated a bit more for international public.
Yes, and I saw that she has a very interesting title. She's a political anthropologist. I think that's fascinating.
Yes. And she, yeah, of course, she's an expert on the issue because she did her PhD in Israel. She researched the small minorities in Israel, non-Jewish minorities of the Circassians and Druze as non-Jewish citizens. And so she worked a lot in Israel, and she's very aware of the situation of the, like, the racist nature of this Jewish state. And she joined the horde when we knew, and so she's part of the project, in fact. But also she has an interesting story here because her father is a Circassian himself. He's a Muslim, Circassian from Golan Heights, and he was born in Golan Heights, and he was expelled. His village Mansura in Golan Heights was destroyed in 1967 by Israel. So her father, in fact, was expelled by Israel, and then he left, and now he lives in France for many years. But then where she was born. But so her story also, her family story, also is part of the colonial, the occupant character of Israel, of course.
Mm-hmm. So, and you will both be there tomorrow to present the book?
Yes, we will present the book. Yeah, we'll present the book. In fact, it's the English version now that came out just a couple of weeks ago. And it's the English version. It's an updated version, but it's basically the same book. And we are going to present it tomorrow together to talk about the book, to offer the book to people that wish to get it. And we hope to see as many people as possible.
Okay. A Sunday afternoon. And at what time is it starting?
It starts at 3 o'clock, 3 p.m.
3 p.m. at the Peperfabriek, en dat is Breugelstraat 31, hè? Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for your time on this Saturday.
Yeah.
And thank you very much. We will maybe talk to you again.
Can I ask one question?
My co-host here also has one question for you.
Yeah, from time to time when there are new, let's call it troubles, between maybe Gaza or the West Bank and Israel, there's discussion about the support of Europe for Israel, and then we had one of our major politicians said, well, mind you, Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East, so you have to be very careful with sanctioning them like BDS and whatever. What is your response to that? That's my question, basically.
I think, first of all, the sanctions and the boycott campaign against Israel is extremely important. In fact, I'm convinced, fully convinced today, unfortunately, that there will be no change from within, from Israel, of course not. I'm afraid also Palestinians don't have enough power to... They resist all the time, and by their very... It's the very fact that they continue living on the ground and having life, it's a great resistance. But I don't think they can. They have the power to get free of this occupation and settler colonial apartheid regime. The BDS campaign. International campaign is very, very important because it's the only way to one day maybe change the situation there. Unfortunately, we don't see too many moves by Europe and the U.S.
But what about the point that Israel is the only democratic ruled state in the Middle East that this politician was making? So therefore, we in Europe have to support Israel.
Yeah, I know very well. Of course, they emphasize this all the time. This so-called democracy is based on the expulsion of most of the indigenous population, Palestinians, that lived on that ground, on this on this land. So to call it, to label it a democracy is very problematic. And establish the state with a Jewish supremacy, it's not exactly a great democracy. So
okay.
These labels are not exactly adequate. Yeah.
Okay. That was it, Joris?
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Goed. So again, thank you for your time. And
thank you very much.
Maybe we'll talk again some other time.
Yeah, I hope so. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.